We're holding on Mem Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about Treifus of the lungs. We talked about the two layers of the pleura that surround the lungs, and if there are holes in one or the other or both of them. We talked about various places. We still talked a little bit about if the lungs partially or completely changed colors and different things like that. So the Gemara continues. Amar Amena Shmei de Rabba. Amena says a name of Rabba. Now, sometimes on the lung, you will find little bubble-like growths. Basically, blisters, basically. So sometimes you'll find blisters on the lung. Now, the problem is that what happens if that blister has a hole in it? Now, you do have like this. After you check the animal, when you're checking the lungs, and as we learned yesterday, checking the lungs is one type of treifus that you always have to check for because it's so common for there to be problems. So you have the shoichet, or the boidik, is moving his hands and touching around that area, and therefore that sometimes changes the appearance of things. It's called mishmush yod the tabcha, the movement and the massaging of the hands of the shoichet. So now what happens is, though, you have this blister there, you have a hole in it. The question is whether that hole existed while the animal was alive, in which case it would be true. So what we're saying is, in Makifin, you can't put one near the other, two such blisters, or one from one lung and one from a different one, to check and to compare them and to see whether they're the same thing. Now, we are going to learn later on in the parak that sometimes you can do that. Sometimes you have a question on a lung, you can compare it with a different one or with a different part of the same lung and see whether this looks normal or not. But here, Amemar is telling us, in the name of Rava, you cannot do that over here because it's very easy when there's a blister over there for the appearance of things to change and then to not be able to tell whether it was done by the hands of the shoichet, and therefore it happened, therefore the hole developed after the animal died, or whether it was still there when the animal was alive. Rashi and Tosfos both point out we're talking when this is in an area where the shoichet doesn't usually put his hands. If it's an area where he does, then we have good reason to think that it was in fact punctured in the course of that. And the Ran, in fact, says that. You see that even when you have something like this, there's a blister on the lung, there must be something wrong. Obviously, the blister existed when the animal was alive, but we can still, if it's something that we can attribute to the shoichet, checking it afterwards, then we're able to do that. So we're talking about over here when we're not able to attribute it to that. So now we're saying you can't compare it with another one because there's too easy to be able to, it's too easy For like this, when there's a blister over there, its appearance can easily change, and therefore it might look different, and you're going to think, well, this one was while the animal was alive, this one was while it was dead, and you're not going to be able to tell, and they both might be while it was alive. Next, we're going to get into the matter of Suchus in the Rea. And then the lungs. One of the reasons why the post can talk about specifically you have to check the lungs is because there's a very common kind of issue with the lungs called Suchus. Suchus are fibrous growths that sometimes they'll just hang off the lung loosely and not be attached to anything. Those posts can say basically there's no issue with those. If they're not stuck to anything else, then there's no problem. It's just because the animal breathes in air that has moisture in it, and sometimes that kind of congeals on the outside of the lungs and forms hanging things. A sulfa that we talk about that can be a problem is where it gets attached to something else, whether some other part of the lung or whether different other parts of the chest wall or of the different organs that are in the chest, as we're going to learn about this over the next daf or two. Now, what's the issue with Suchus? Rashi explains that the issue is that there was evidently a hole over there, and now some substance leaked out of the lung and formed this growth. And the problem is, so now it closes up the hole, but the problem is, as we've learned before, and we're going to learn in more detail later on, that when you have something, when you have an internal organ that was punctured, and then afterwards a membrane develops over it and closes it, a membrane, a scar tissue, or whatever grows over it, doesn't matter, it was already treifa from before and it can't become kosher. So therefore, here you have, in effect, these suchas close up a hole that was there, is how Rashi learns, and therefore there's a problem. So, but now, the Gemara is going to distinguish over here. In certain cases, Silchus can be fine because then the two parts of Silchus connect together, are close enough together that basically it can be similar to what we learned before about where you have, it was to begin with, one part was protecting the other, like we learned for the other, for example, previously, like the gallbladder having a hole and the liver, and then the liver being considered to close up that hole because it grows that way naturally. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos and other Rishonim have some questions about that, and they learn the Tosfos learns the other way around. The problem with the Silcha is not that there was a hole there. The problem is there will be a hole over there. When you have a Silcha that stretches from the lung to one of the other to a different part of the lung or to one of the other internal organs or the chest wall or whatever. As the lung expands and contracts, eventually that silcha is going to tear off, and some of the lung is going to tear off with it, and then you're going to have a hole. So now we're going to talk about this matter of silchus, and we'll talk about it now a little bit, and we'll get back to it also on the next Dat Vayos Hashem. So the Gemara says, "V'omar Rava." Now, one other thing we need to understand for this purpose is we need to understand the basic structure of the lungs. So you have two lungs, and as we're going to start speaking about in the Gemara soon. You have, for each lung, you have the main body of it. The Gemara doesn't give it a name, but we'll be showing him call it Uma, which is related to the word Aim, a mother. And then you have the various lobes that stick out of it, which are called Unos. Unos literally means ears in Aramaic, so it's called that because they're shaped kind of like ears. We're going to see soon in the Gemara how many there are on each side, but that's the basic structure of the lung. In addition, there's also, so most of the unais they stick out towards the right and towards the left, respectively. And the Gemara calls them soon Dora de Una, the row of the unais. Then in addition, we're going to talk about soon, you have one lobe that's in the middle. That's in the middle of the lung that sticks out towards the front of it, the front of it, which is to say when you have the animal hanging up in front of you after you've shefted it and you've cut it open, then you'll see in the middle over there, there'll be a smaller lobe, which we'll talk about in the Gemara soon. It's called Inunisa Devardo, which literally means the little rose-shaped lobe. So all of them have medical names, but whatever, we don't need to get into that. Anyway. So for Omar Rava, so Rava also says, if you have a silcha, if you have one of these fibrous growths and connections between one una and the next, bless the Rubidika, so Rava says there's no way to check whether there was a hole there or not. According to Rashi, the verdict is because there may well have been a hole. Now you have, if you try to inflate the lung, you're going to have it inflate properly because it's been patched up by that hole. It's been patched up by that silcha, but it doesn't matter because the silcha is not considered a valid patch, and therefore the animal is still treifa. According to Tosfos, the verdict would be that fine. Right now the lung is intact, but eventually because of the silcha, it's going to break apart, and there's going to be a hole in the lung tissue over there. However, says Rava, v'le'amonan el shalik sidra. And however, that would apply only if the silcha is between the unos shalik sidra, not one next to the other. So, in other words, we're going to talk about soon. When you have the animal hanging up in front of you, then you'll see on your right side, which was also the animal's right side when it was alive, then you have three. There are three unos on the right side. So let's say you have a silcha from the first una to the third one. So now the point is, according to Rashi, then the verdict is that they're not right next to the other, and therefore, so in other words, there was a hole there that only later on was plugged up by the silcha, and therefore no good. On the Tosfos, they're so far apart that inevitably the silcha is going to at some point break off and take some of the lung with it. So then that would be a problem. Aval kasidron, but if they're in their normal way, if you have, for example, the first of silcha between the first and the second, and the second or the, and the third, hainu de bisayu, then that's a normal way of things, and that's not a problem. One of them will protect the other, and therefore will be able to heal. So that is the halacha. But now Rashi points out, this is the Gemara's, Rava is talking about if you have silchus between the unos. And later on we're going to talk about what happens if you have silchus between the lung and the chest wall and so forth. What about if you have a silcha between the uma, the main body of the lung, and one of the unos, one of these lobes of the lungs? So Rashi says, I asked it, so this actually happened with me once, Rashi says, I asked Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, who was one of Rashi's Rebbeim, and he said it's mutter. Then Rashi says, others say that it's also. And Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rashi goes on to say that Rabbeinu Yaakov explained to his Talmud Rashi the reasons behind both of them. On the one hand, you have a hole over here. It's one thing Rava is saying by the Unas, but not by the Ummah, which is not even mentioned in the Gemara. And the idea is, because why is it that you have that main body of the lung and then you have these lobes anyway? The reason is because the point where you have the bottoms of the lungs, the main body of them, is a wider part of the chest. Then it narrows as it goes towards the neck. So because it narrows over there, then therefore you have like the Rashi explains the body of the animal. Therefore, will promote more healing in that area. Rashi goes and then gives more explanation of it. And then he goes on to explain why those who say that it's also would say that it's also. And he goes and discusses it. So in the end, Rashi says that I found in Shuvas HaGaonim something that supports what his Rebbe said, and Rashi says on Nikarim Divrei Emes, the words of truth are recognizable. On the other hand, Tosfos has a long discussion about this, and again, Tosfos' understanding of how Sirchus developed and what the problem is with Sirchus is completely different than Rashi's. It switches around the cause and the effect. When you're Rashi, the cause is a whole, the effect is a Sircha. According to Tosfos, it's the other way around. The cause is the Sircha, the effect is going to be a whole. In any case, So Tosfos discusses it at some length, and as far as this case of the Una and of a Sucha between the Uma and the Una, so Tosfos brings it. Ben Atam disagreed with Rashi's Rebbe, said that it's also said that in fact anybody who says that such a thing as Mutter is causing Jews to eat Trefus. Because he says Rabbi Yaakov had explained, and Rashi agrees with that because there's no difference between the Una and the Uma in that regard, as long as the Silcha is between one thing and the thing adjacent to it, there should be no problem. But says Tosfos, no, the fact is the Gemara doesn't even mention the Uma at all. Rava is talking only about the Unas, so where do we have an idea to say that there should be that an Uma to the Una should be Mutter? And Tosfos goes and brings. And then Tosfos goes and brings a whole bunch of Goyim and Rishonim who say that it's Osir. And Tosfos says, in general, they're Noyig in most places. They declare it Osir, except for places where they, places where Rashi's Heter became prevalent. Then also, Tosfos says, all of Rashi's other Rebbeim also held it's Osir, only Rav Yaakov and Rav Yochar held that it's Mutter. So that particular detail about where the Uma is connected by a Sucha to the Unas is quite controversial. But Rava is saying, if it's from one Una to the next, then it's fine. And if it's from one Una to one that's not next to it, then it's no good. The post can also talk about a whole bunch of different other possible cases. You can have, even when we talk about from one Una to the next, are we talking about, for example, Dafka, where one Una is Dafka where on the two edges, for example, where the two Unas are right adjacent to one another, or are we talking about even, let's say, from the middle of one Una to the middle of the next? Would that also be fine? Not necessarily. You have the same problem, that is, they're not connected to begin with, and it may easily pull apart. So you have a lot of different dinim about this that Rishonim and Achronim discussed and are discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Tosfos brings a little bit about from the Aruch and from the Goinim. That's the basic thing about Sirchus. And again, we're going to get back to Sirchus later on. We're going to talk about Sirchus between the lung and other organs or the chest wall or whatever. We'll learn about that tomorrow, Ben Sashem. V'omer Rava, and Rava says another din about the lung. Before we were talking about when you have one blister on the lung. So we said if there's no hole in the blister, then there's no problem. If there's a hole in it, then we said there's a problem. You can't easily tell whether that hole developed when the animal was alive or not. So we say if it's an area where the sheikhik usually runs his hands along the lung to check it, then it's not such a problem. But if it's not one of those areas, then we have to be choshish for it. Now we're going to talk about where there are two blisters. If you have two blisters, one next to another, So now, says Rava, Lesla Hubadikusa, there's no valid way of checking them. Because why are there two blisters one next to the other? So Rashi explains that Rava knows that if the, that in that case, it must be there was a hole there in the lung in between, and therefore blisters grew around it. So now the problem is that you don't really easily have a way of checking for that hole. And again, the fact that you have the blisters went and covered up the hole doesn't mean that's not a valid seal, and therefore it's no good. There were other explanations among the Rishonim. The Rambam says it's not so much. Rashi says Vadai, there was for sure a hole over there, and these blisters grew around it. The Rambam phrased it Korev Vadai, it's very likely that there's a hole between them, and you're not going to be able to check. So the post can talk about a point of the Nosa Kavan on the Rambam, talk about that, a point to him, there may be, if there's a certain amount of distance between them, then you wouldn't be able to check it. But then another girsa that we're showing them have is not to smichi la'adadi, that they're next to one another, but to smichi la'adadi, where there's a sircha from one to the other, and we're saying you can't check them. So even though we're saying that some sirchas may not be a problem, but here where it's from one blister to another, then we would say it is a problem. Okay, continues Rava. What if it's really only one blister, but it looks like two because there's a groove in the middle of it? So what you do, how do you tell whether it's really one blister or two? And again, if it's one blister, it won't be a problem, even if it has a hole, if you can attribute it to the shofet's hands, to the boydik's hand, and if there's no hole in it, then there's no problem at all. So how do we tell whether it's one or two? So the Rabbi says, my sin in silver, we bring a thorn, or something sharp like that, over zin in law, and we cut one of the and we cut one side of the blister open. Ishaf kamahadadi, if now the fluid or whatever it is, the fluid or the pus or whatever that's in these blisters pours into one another, chadihi, then you know it's one blister or kshera, then the animal is kosher. The Eloi, if not, tarki ninu, then it's two blisters, and as Rava instead of treifa, then the animal would be treifa. Tosfos brings from the Halachas Gedolos that if you find such blisters on the lower parts of the lungs, meaning when the animal is alive, the lung kind of hangs down. You have the umma, the main body of the lung is towards the back of the animal, and then the lobes hang down from there. So the Halachas Gedolos says that if you find blisters on such places, then the animal will be treif. And here's the Halachas Gedolos explains that the reason is it's called a concept that we touched on before in this parak. We're going to talk about it in more detail later on. Kol yeser kenotel domi, whenever you have something extra, is considered like it's missing. So therefore, in effect, you have something extra by virtue of this blister, and therefore it's considered as though something was missing from that area. Tosfos says that doesn't seem to work. The reason may be, because when it's on the ends there that are hanging down, it's very easy for it to get a hole or even to be torn off altogether, and then you're going to have a hole in the lung over there. And Tosfos finishes off by saying you should be careful because Kol Divreim Divrei Kabbalah, the Halachas Gedolos is one of the early Goyim, and everything that he says is the Kabbalah. There's an expression that the Rishonim have in some places. The Goyim, even though their authority was not as great as that of the Amoraim, nevertheless, the fact is the Goyim learned in the same yeshivas as the Amoraim. They were their direct successors. They learned in their same yeshivas. They followed their same minhagim, and they davened in their same places, etc. And therefore, we can rely on their, therefore, often we can rely on their Masorah, that it's very valid and that it goes back to the Amoraim, and Tosfos says that's how it would be over here as well. Tosfos finishes off by saying that Rabbeinu Gershom does say that if there's healthy looking flesh growing around the blister, then it would be kosher because then it's not going to break off so easily. Okay. Continues the Gemara of Omar Rava. Rava says, now let's talk about the actual large structure of the lung. Chamisha uni isla l'reya. The lung has five lobes. Now we're not counting the umas, and again the Gemara itself doesn't even mention the umma at all, the main body of the lung. We're focusing only on the lobes. So Rava says, apa klapi gavra, when you have the front of the lung facing the person, meaning in other words, you hang up the animal by its back legs, and you cut open the chest wall, and then you see the lungs, then you're going to have that each side of the lung is going to, the side that's on your right is going to be the side that was on the animal's right when it was alive. So when you have it in that way, plus a minion of a tautum is smaller, then you're going to see three lobes on the right and two on the left. The reason why there are fewer lobes on the left is because there you have the heart. There needs to be room for that, so there's not as much room for lobes to grow over there. So Rava says, chosir, now if you have any one lobe is missing, or yatir, or if you have extra, if you have an extra lobe, or cholif, or if they're switched around, you have two lobes on the right, three on the left, trefa, then in all those cases, the animal would be trefa. So in the case of chaser, this would be included in, we learned at the beginning of the parak, that the chasera is one of the types of trefas, that is one of the major types of things that makes an animal trefa, and this would be chaser. And then you have when you have extra, then we would say that again kol yotik and not odomi, when you have something extra, it's considered like it's missing, and therefore it would be considered as though a lobe is missing. And then when they're switched around, then it would be also that, the ones you have too few on one side and too few on one side. So there is a little bit, the pre-Megadim talks about when he talks about the halachas of trefus of the lungs, by the way. When you look in Hilchos trefus in Shulchan Aruch, most of the things we've talked about so far cover only one simen, sometimes even less than it. So you'll have this simen about trefus of the skull, and another one about the brain, and another one about the windpipe and the esophagus and so forth, and then. But then when you get to the lung, you have fully five simonim that deal with trefus of the lung because there's so much complexity to it. So again, you have the question, is everything over here, are we talking about, what exactly is included over here in Nikva that it has a hole versus what is included in Chasera that's missing? So the Gemara tells now, who yiserta that soy the kamei de marena? There was once a case with an animal with an extra lobe that was brought to, in the lung that was brought to marena. Have a Yosef Rav Acha Baba. Now Rav Acha at that time was sitting in front of was sitting in front of Marema's house. Was sitting by the door of his house. Omalei, Rav Acha says to the shofar, to who brought him the shayla, the guy goes in and asks the shayla, and when he comes out, so Rav Acha asks him, my omalach, what did Marema tell you the din is? Omalei, so the guy says, Asher Amili, he told me that's kosher. Omalei, but Rav Acha tells him no. Fodor Aile Kamei, go bring it back into him. Because after all, we just said, Yisera, that if there's an extra lobe, it's Trefa. So the guy goes back in and asks, and by the way, you can see the Yiras Shemayim of the guy, and you can see the respect for Tumen HaChamim that he had. He could have said, Rav Acha, mix out of it. I went to Marema, I went to the Rav. He said, it's kosher, what do you want from me? But no, the guy has Bittul, and the guy has Yiras Shemayim, and if Rav Acha is going to raise a concern, then he's going to go in and ask the Rav whether maybe he passed in incorrectly, even though it means that for him, the Shoichet, it's going to be a loss. So he goes back in to ask the Shaila. Omalei, so Marema tells the guy, Zil Emalei, the man de Yosef Ababa, go tell the person sitting by the door. He didn't know it was Rav Acha necessarily, but go tell him, Les Hilfsa, Kavasei de Rava, be Yiseres. Look, the halacha is not like the Rava when it comes to an extra lobe, and therefore the animal is perfectly kosher. And that, in fact, is halacha. Usually we pass them like Rav, but usually we pass them like Rava, but here we would say that not. And the Radvaz explains the reason is, as it is, the lobes, here we're talking about there are five lobes, but sometimes you have, especially, for example, the one on the left nearest to the neck often itself kind of splits up into smaller sublobes, mispatzel, the Rishonim call it. And therefore, so by the same token, you have another lobe that divides into two, then it's not necessarily a problem. It just means that, you don't say kol yasik and not odomi, it just means it's the nature that the lobes are various odd shapes, and then sometimes you may have one of them, and then sometimes one of them appears to be like two, but it's not a problem. However, the Gemara says, "V'hanimu the kind of a darah de'uni." However, that would only apply if they're in the row of the unis. So if you have, again, on the right and the left is where the lobes stick out. So if you have an extra lobe on one of those sides, then it would be fine. Aval beni beni, but if you have it in between, if you have it on the front, on the front of the lung or the back of the lung, or various other, Rashi brings various other places, you have the area in which the lobes grow out is called, Rashi calls it aruga, which literally means the plot of land, like the bed, the seed bed. So you have, that's the area where the lobes grow out of. But if you have it, if it's not in that area, it's below it. At like the Internisa Divarda that we're going to talk about soon, or it's one in the middle of the Uma on the back of it. So in any case, it's not in the same area as the other Unas, Trefa, then in fact it would be Trefa. So this guy, when he brought his Shaila to Merema, we're talking about one where it was on one side or the other, and therefore Rav Acha held still the Halacha is like Rava, but Merema tells him no, here the Halacha is not like Rava, and an extra one is not a problem. By the way, Tosfos points out, as far as we were saying before, about blisters being a problem, and that if there are two blisters, one next to the other, then it's a problem. And the animals today, Tosfos brings in this connection from Rabbeinu Yehuda, that this is only, we're talking about ones that have pus or other kind of fluid in them. But if they're hard things, then it would be kosher, because apparently the idea is hard things like that, hard tubercules like that. I mean, the animal had tuberculosis or something. Maybe you may not want to eat it for health reasons, but in terms of treifas, it wouldn't be a problem even if you have two of them, one next to the other. Okay. The Gemara tells more about the structure of the lung. Ahu beni beni de osel kamei de ravashi. There was once a case with a lung that had a lobe in between, not in the dora de uni, not in the row of the other unis. So what do we do with it? So Ravashi the mitzvah. So Ravashi thought to declare it treif, like we just said. If you have an extra una not in the rows on the right or the left of the lung, then it's a problem. Amalei. However, Rav Huna Mar, that was his name, Bar Ivya, says to Ravashi, no, this kind of lobe is not a problem. All the animals that go and graze on the outside, meaning not that are like semi-feral animals, they go and graze for themselves, and then they just belong to people, but they go and graze in pastures. Another explanation. That's one explanation. So Rashi says two explanations. That's one, Groyas Fa'afer, that they go and graze in the meadows. The other explanation is Bar Yosa, means the healthy animals, the healthy fat animals. Anyway, all of them, Hochi Yislahu, they have that particular lobe. The Kordolot Tabchi, Inunisa Devarda, and the Shochtim call it the Inunisa Devarda, which literally means the small rose-shaped, rose-colored lobe. In fact, it's both. It's roundish like a rose, and it's also reddish like a rose. So that's a normal thing that grows on the lung, and therefore it's perfectly kosher, and don't declare the animal treif on it, on the basis of that. So the interesting thing is it seems that it sounds like in Rav Ashi's times many animals didn't have that, which is why Rav Ashi wasn't familiar with it, and Rav Huna Mar has to tell him about it. So Rashi points out our animals do mostly have it. So on the other hand, Rashi says if you find that it doesn't have it, then it should be kosher. Because after all, it's fine. You can say nowadays it's more prevalent for them to have it, but nevertheless, we see that in Ravashi's times they didn't, and many animals did not have it, so you shouldn't say that it's treifa on that regard. Rashi also goes on to say that what happens now, we talked about before, if lobes are missing. Now, this Inunisa Devarde, when you look at it on the lobe, it's a little closer to the right side. So Rashi says, if you were to have, let's say you said before, there were supposed to be three lobes on that side of the lung. If you have one of those lobes is missing, and then you have the Inunisa Devarda, so Rashi says, yes, that it can be combined together. So Rashi says, I found a truva from the Goyim to that effect, but I don't really agree with that. The fact is, as we said before, that in order for that it has to be the Dora Deuni, it has to be in the row, it has to be in a row with the other lobes, and this one is not. Then Rashi also talks about what happens if you have two Inunisa Devardas. So he mentions that he says in Muri Azokit, my elder Rebbe, which is Reb Yaakov Reb Yaakov, we said before, that actually Gerli Adur, two great Tamar Chachamim, argued about it, but he didn't explain why. Rashi says, I would hold that it's today for, because look, here you already have it. It's definitely a seres. It's definitely extra, because you're only supposed to have at most one in Nisa Devarda. It's not in the row with the other loaves, which we just said before that Meremer had said that that would have been fine. So it ought to be terrific. Tosfos discusses more about that and says that on the contrary, to begin with, when Rav Ashi says, well, what do you mean? Rav Ashi didn't know there's an Inissa Devarda? So Tosfos brings it up. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, of course there is. No, the case that was brought to Rav Ashi was there were two of them. And we see that Rav Huna Meir tells him that that's fine. So therefore, two of them should not, in fact, be treifin. But again, Tosfos says, the fact is, just because we find in our animals regularly that they have an Inissa Devarda, does not mean that the ones in the Gemara regularly have that, and it could very well be, like Rashi says, that most of them did not, and therefore Rav Ashi was completely unfamiliar with this, right, until Rav Huna Meir pointed out to him that in our times, some animals have it. Tosfos brings other examples where we see that we have a concept called Nishtanu Atidim, that nature has changed to some extent from the times of the Gemara, and things that the Gemara states as being a certain fact are not necessarily that way anymore. So Tosfos says Amad Devarda, the general ruling is like Rashi, that if there are two Inunisa Devardas, then the animal is Trefa. And if there's none, then it's fine, because he was saying in the Gemara that even to begin with there wasn't really regularly one, and there wasn't necessarily regularly one anyway. So again, in Shulchan Aruch you have various opinions on the subject. So the Gemara says, V'hani mili migavon. Now, all this we're talking about the Inunisa Devarda, is when it's on the inside, meaning the ventral side that faces the belly of the animal. Avalagaba, but if you find this Inunisa Devarda, or any extra lobe, on the back of the lung, the side that faced toward the back of the animal when it was alive, after the Katarpa Da'osa, then even if it's only the size of a hadas leaf, which is fairly small, treifa, then it would be treifa, because that's not the normal place for it, and that would be called yeseres, and you don't have this excuse that it's the Inunisa Devarda, because the Inunisa Devarda doesn't belong there. So now Tosfos points out what you do need to do in order to know whether it's that size. You have to inflate the lung first, because after all, when the animal is alive, the lungs are inflated, so you need to see whether this extra thing is that size when it's inflated. And then Tosfos also points about what happens if the Inunisa Devarda is on the front of the lung, fine, but it's not in the usual place. So Tosfos says that on the face of it, it ought to be mutter, because we're only saying if it's on the back is a problem. On the other hand, Tosfos says, Muri Harav Doidi, my Rebbe, my uncle, said that it's a Mekubal Lesser, that it's accepted to Aser it. Because again, the Inunisa Devarda is supposed to have a particular place on the lung, and here it doesn't. Okay. Now let's talk about, here's where Tosfos also points out, as far as the shape of the unus, that in particular the upper one on the right often kind of like splits up into sublobes, and therefore that's not a problem. And there's a variety of other details that Bishonim talk about, that the Poskim talk about, as far as the shapes of the lobes. Each lobe is supposed to have a certain distinctive shape. What happens if the shapes are different, etc.? The Gemara continues, Omer Rafram, Hai Reyed Damiel Ufsa, if the lung resembles Ufsa, which means a block of wood, Trefa, then the animal is Trefa. Now, there are various ways in which it can resemble a block of wood, so the Gemara is going to go through all of them. Ika Da'ami B'chazusa. Some say that Rafram means if it has the appearance, if it looks in color like a block of wood. The Ika Da'ami B'gishra. Others say that it means that it feels hard, like wood. Ikadami, and then there's yet other opinions. Ikadami dinifticha. Some say that it means that's blown up. That when you blow it up, when you inflate it, then it looks white. It looks white like a piece of wood. So then it would be the same thing as chazusa. It would be the same thing that it looks like wood. But the difference is that we would say that it means, in other words, before we were talking about when it's just before you inflated it, it looks the color of wood. Now we're talking about where it changes to that color when you inflate it. So the ikadami, so the ikadami de pechiza. Others say that it means where it's. Others say that it means where it's hard. So again, pechiza would be just another word for kegishta. So in other words, we don't have so many different opinions. We just have different amaroim phrase the same thing in different ways. The ikadami. Yet another opinion is the shia. It means that it smooths the lust like it took of the uni. It does not have the it does not have the distinction between one una and the next. It's just one. It's just one rounded or whatever one big shape without being divided into unis. So all of these are accepted. All of these are accepted. Lahalacha. And so long has any of those problems, if so long has any of those problems, then it's then the animal would be treif. And then the post can talk about a lot of different details within that of how we would define these various things of what's kosher and what's treif in connection with the long. Rashi does mention that if there's a little bit of distinction between the lobes. So let's say you have a little fissure between where one lobe is supposed to be and the other. So normally you would have the lobes are very clearly delineated from one another. You have a deep fissure that goes between one and the next. So here you don't. Rashi says you just have a little bit. You have a little bit of a crack between one and the next. Nevertheless, it's still not. So now it's not as smooth as a piece of wood. So therefore, it would be kosher because at least you can tell that there are different unas. In fact, the Rambam says that we just mentioned before about tarpa d'osa, about the size of a hadas leaf as far as an extra una, that would be a problem. The Rambam uses that measurement also in this connection, that as long as you have tarpa d'osa, you have a delineation the size of a hadas leaf between one una and the next, then it'll be kosher, and it won't be what we're saying over here, d'les v'chitucha d'uni, that there's no delineation of unas at all. But if there's absolutely no delineation of unis, then we're saying that's another meaning of damnim ufsa, that it resembles a block of wood, and therefore it would be treifa. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, so now let's talk about the color of the lung. Amar Rava, kuchla kshera. If the lung's color looks like kuchla, which is a bluish color, actually. So kshera, then the animal would be kosher. Kedusa, on the other hand, if the lung becomes like the color of ink, which is black, treifa, then it would be treifa. Now, we learned yesterday, we said when there were uchmi, there were black dots on the lung, and Rava had said that it would be kosher. So as we talked about yesterday, either it can mean here we're talking about where most of it is this black color as opposed to before, only a little bit of it, or the other distinction was that over there, that when it said fuchma, it didn't mean black, it just meant a dark color like the kuchla of over here. Now, why should it be treifa if the lung is black, says Rava? Because the Omer of Chanina, shocher, odem hu el shalokam. We find when it comes to dam nida, that we're going to learn in the Sefer Nida next year, Be'ez Hashem, that there are only certain, in principle, there are only certain colors of blood that make a woman a nida, and one of the four of them are various shades of red. One of them is black. Why is black considered blood? Because it is. It was red blood, el shalaka, but it deteriorated, and now it looked, and now it comes out looking black. So in the same way over here, then you have if the surface of the lung is black, then the same thing it means over here that means that the lung is deteriorating and it's going to end up having folds or otherwise not continuing to perform its function in the animal's body. Okay, continues Rava. Yeruka, what happens if the lung becomes a green color? Kshera, then it would be kosher. Why? Midir Rav Nosson, based on what Rav Nosson says. On the other hand, and Abduma, and if it becomes red, then also because now you have, let's say there's a blood that collected in one place. Let's say the animal was injured, and now you have a place where there's where blood unusually collected in part of the lung. So fine, you know, right now it was injured, but eventually it'll heal. So also Kshera, so Rava says it would also be partial, also Midrash Rav Nosson, also based on what Rav Nosson says. What do we mean? The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. Now, Rav Nosson's cases involving green and involving red are talking about the color of the skin. But nevertheless, Rava is saying that the same thing would apply to the lungs as well. So Rav Nosson says that the Tanya Rav Nosson, Pamach Asalakti Lekrafti Hayam. One time he says, I went to the cities by the sea, the overseas city. So a woman came to me, Shemola Bno Rishon Rames. She had done a bris milah for her oldest son, and he died. Sheni Rames, she did one for the second son also, and he died. Shlishi, Havi Atzel Lefanai, and now came the third one. And she brought him to me to ask whether she should make a bris milah for him. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos talks about how many times you need to establish a chazaka, two or three times. It's a machlokas of Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe. So here, evidently, we're holding like a Rebbe that two times is enough for a chazaka, and therefore, as we're going to see, he told her to wait with making him a bris milah. So she brought him to me. Reisiv Shoya Odu. So I looked at the baby, says Reb Nosson, and I saw that he was red. I told her, Biti, my daughter, continually wait with the bris milah, actually bola by doma until his blood is absorbed into him, until he looks a normal color again. So in other words, by itself, just the fact that he's red would have been enough to postpone the bris. But on top of that, we're saying that his older brothers have died from bris milah, meaning in other words, because they hadn't known this, and they hadn't known that if he's red, then you can't do the bris milah, and therefore the milah sapped their strength. So therefore, Nosson is telling her that you have to wait. So sure enough, in Tinoloi, so she waited with the bris milah, umoloi, and then she arranged the bris, and sure enough, he survived. So they called that baby Nosson Abadli after me, says Rav Nosson, in gratitude for the fact that this baby wouldn't have survived if it had not been for Rav Nosson. The point is, we see from that that just because a baby is red doesn't mean it's going to be like that forever. So the red will eventually, the redness will eventually go away. The blood will get properly absorbed into the body. The same way Rava is saying, with the lung, even though the lung is red, doesn't mean that's going to remain that way. Doesn't mean that's going to remain that way forever. So eventually it will. Interesting thing, it says that it's brought, we've shown him talk about that Esau was born red, as we know. So it's an interesting idea. I think the Baal HaTorim says that when he was born, they didn't make him a bris milah right away because he's red, and based on this Gemara over here, they knew it could be dangerous. So they figured they were going to have to wait until the red color goes away. Eventually, they realized that that's his natural color. But by that point, it says Esau was old enough to refuse bris milah, and then according to that opinion, he never, in fact, got a bris milah. Similarly, continues Rav Nosson with another story. The Kaputkia. Another time I went to the country of Kaputkia, which is someplace in Turkey. Same thing. A woman came to me that her first two children had died from bris milah. Shlishi haviyatu lefana. She brought the third baby to me to see what to do. Reisiv shoya yoru. So I saw that he was yoru. Now, yoruk can mean, as we're going to talk about more soon, yoruk can mean various colors. Sometimes it can mean red and not red. Sometimes it can mean green. Sometimes it can mean yellow. There's a choice just even in Sukkah that talks about conceivably it can mean blue. Whatever the case, it is not the normal coloration. So, the lohoya boy dambris. And in fact, I looked carefully at him and I realized there wouldn't even be dambris. If you were to make him a bris milah, never mind the fact that he's obviously weak and sick and jaundiced or whatever, but it means that there's not even no blood would come out, and by the bris milah, blood is supposed to come out. So there's different explanations among Rishonim what exactly was the problem with this baby. Does yoruk over here really mean green? So nobody says really that it means green, a baby's color. It's not really green, although there is maybe that the jaundice nowadays manifests as yellow. Maybe in the times of the Gemara, it was more of a greenish color, but for that, actually, their skin color was maybe a shade or two darker than ours. It was more olive skin, so therefore jaundice might well appear as a greenish color. But there are a number of Rishonim who explain that actually what it means is, just like the kid had anemia or something, and therefore he was pale in color. Whatever the case, a mighty lord, and now Nosson says to the woman, Biti, Hamtini loy achiyipo boy domo, wait until his blood is absorbed into him, meaning in other words, until his color is normal from blood circulating normally. First of all, because it'll be too weak, but second of all, again, because you need blood for the bris milah. Kimtina lo, so she waited, mola oisa, and she made the bris milah, v'choya, and he survived, and again, v'choya koron oisa, nosan ababli ashmi, and this baby also, they named nosan ababli in my honor, because I'm the one, because thanks to me, the baby stayed alive. So we see, in other words, that just because that red or green colors are eventually going to heal. So now Rava is saying the same thing with the lung, even though the lung is that unnatural color, but eventually it will heal and get back to normal. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Kahana, he was more dinim about the color of the lung. The Kavda, if the lung looks like the color of the liver, Sheira, then it would be kosher. That's another kind of red. It's another shade of red. Kibisra, on the other hand, if it looks like flesh, like regular meat, trefa, then it would be tref. Why is that? Just because this is how the Chachamim knew that one kind is considered a defect, which eventually it means there's something wrong with the lung, and eventually it's going to develop holes or whatever, and the other one is not. Okay. The simmons, you should remember which is which. Remember the pasuk about treifa. So vasa basada treifa. Meat that was torn in the field is treifa. So that helps you remember. Here with the lung, when it's the color of meat, then it's treifa. The Gemara continues. I'm going to sama breider over. Hai reyad dam yo tikshusa. If the lung resembles hops, which are a green, so they're a yellowish green color, ochomurika, or it resembles saffron, which is a yellowish color, ochbendeaso, or like an egg, which is a bright yellow. So all of those, trefa, all of those, the animal would be trefa. So these are all various shades of yellow or yellowish green or something. So the Gemara says, Eli Yeruka Dekshera, he's a Damian. Well, then when Rava said before that it's kosher if it's Yorick, what kind of Yorick are we talking about? And the answer is Kikariti, he means green like a leek, what we think of as green. In fact, Tosfos says it's even a little bit of a bluish color. Tosfos here and in Sukkah discusses that point. So in any case, for that kind of thing, so as long as that color, then it's kosher. It means the animal will recover. But Pashtos, I could say, why would the lung turn these different colors? It might be because of various infections, fungal things like that, where the animal can eventually fight it off. You might say it breathed in some kind of polluted air or something, whatever the case. But saying some of these things, the lung will eventually recover. Therefore, the animal can continue to live normally. And others of them were saying that no, it means that there's something wrong. The lung itself, the lung tissue itself has been attacked by infection or whatever, and eventually it's going to get punctured. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Ravina. If you have part of the lung that it doesn't look any different than the lung, but it's closed up, air doesn't go into it. Wow. So in other words, you inflate the lung and that particular part and that particular area does not inflate. What's going on over there? The first thing we have to do is take a knife and cut open that closed up place. And we see, if there's pus in there, fine, then it means that there was pus over there and that prevented air from going in there, and then the animal is kosher. So fine, you know, when the animal was alive, fine, there's an infection, and that part of the lung eventually would have gotten over it. The Eloi, if there's no pus over there, what's going on? So what we do is we put a feather or we put a little bit of saliva over there and then we reinflate the lung and see what happens. If the feather moves or the saliva bubbles, then it means air is getting through. So then it's kosher v'iloi trefa, and if not then the animal is trefa. Different explanations. We've shown him have what problem with it, is it considered that there's a hole over there? Is it considered that now the pressure of the lung is not able to function correctly? And then the Prima Godim talks about in detail various nafkaminis between the explanations. Now, we did say before, if the lung is hard like wood, then it's tshefa. So what's the difference? Why over here? We're saying that it can be otum, and it can still conceivably be kosher. So one point is, before when we said it was hard, you could inflate it. It just feels very hard. But here we're talking about it doesn't even inflate at all, so there's a difference. There's also other factors into this. What Tosfos had said before about warts or things like warts or tubercules on the surface of the lung, where those are not a problem. So those are not part of the lung itself. Those are like something in the those are something you develop in the outer layer in the pleura of it, and therefore that's a whole other matter. The Gemara continues, when you have on the lung, if they've developed a membrane or scar tissue because of a wound on the lung, it's not considered a valid membrane because of it. It's not strong enough. So even though right now you inflate the lung and no air comes out, nevertheless, it's still going to be treif. We learned that a few days ago, also in connection with the wind, with the esophagus. The Gemara had said the same thing. We learned that the Ra'ah, the Rabbi Aaron Alevi, one of the great Rishonim, he was a bar plugged of the Rashba. He regularly argues with the Rashba on halachas. So he holds that would apply only to those two cases, the esophagus and the lung. But everywhere else, he holds that a sealant would be kosher. Most other Rishonim disagree with him and say that no, this din applies in general to any organ that has a hole or a puncture. But the same thing, if a scar tissue develops over it, then it's no good. We touched on the other day the whole matter of scar with animals where they make a hole in the rumen to vent gas from there, and then scar tissue grows over there. And according to the majority of Rishonim, that would indeed be a problem. The Gemara continues. The Amr of this, when you inflate the lung, if you hear a noise that sounds like air escaping, we learned this previously on Mamvav and Beis. I'm not sure why the Gemara is bringing it. Again, but anyway, so you hear a noise. So if you know where the noise is coming from, same thing. You put over there a feather or a piece of straw or some saliva, and then you inflate it. And if air comes out of it there, trefa, then it's trefa because now it means there's holes through both layers of pleura. The eloi, but if not, shera, then it'll be kosher because it means that only the inner layer is punctured. The eloy, so that's if we know where the air is coming. That's if we know where the noise is coming from. The eloy adinimla, if we can't tell where the noise is coming from, ma'isim shichusa de mayak shuri. Then we bring a bowl full of lukewarm water, almost svinim lavagava, and we put the lung inside that. And in that has to be lukewarm water because as we learned before, the chamimi loy, it can't be hot water to cabsi because that will cause the lung to shrink, and therefore then it'll shrink the hole and close it up. The creedy law, you don't want to use cold water either, the mctaushi, because that causes the lung to get hard, or as we learned before, that may even mean also it may cause the hole to close it as well. Elevat can love up shuri, so therefore, Yosef says you don't have to check it, you don't have to test it with lukewarm water. What the definition of lukewarm for this purpose? They didn't have thermometers in those days, so the shach. I'm sure Hanoch he finds it like you take, for example, let's say you take water during the summertime and then leave it out for a while. So basically room temperature. So you use room temperature water. And then you put the lung in it. Imavat. So again, if air comes out of there of anywhere in the lung, tenefa. And the animal is treifa because it means both layers were punctured. The eloi, and if not treifa, tatar inkiv, ilala inkiv, because then it means only the lower, the inner layer of the pleura has a hole, but the upper one not. The haida avsha, the fact that you have a noise, zika de beni ubenihu, it just means that the air is moving between the two layers, and that's the noise that you hear. But it would still be kosher because as we learned before, it's not a problem unless both layers are functioning. Another din about the lung. If the lung pours out like water, so you still have the pleura aren't the pleura, the layers that protect the lung are still intact, but the lung tissue itself has gotten infected and liquefied, and now it pours around you. Nevertheless, the animal is kosher because eventually it will recover. So like Moses, Amakasavar, that shows that Rabbi Yochanan holds chisonim mimifnim lo shmei chisonim. The fact that something is missing on the inside is not considered a chisonim. As long as the outer layers are intact, then you're fine. However, Eisrei Rav Abba Lola, but Rav Abba asks Ola, in the Mishnah we said Horeish and Nikva Osha Chosra. We said if the lung has a hole or something is missing. All the trephas we've been talking about, the lung, are basically included in one or the other of those. Either that it has a hole, that either it now has a hole or a hole is eventually going to develop because of this condition, or that something is missing, like we said before, for example, about lobes missing or whatever. Well, Rav Abba says, My chosra, what does it mean that it's missing? Even with machos, meaning that something is missing from the outside of the lung, well, hainu nikva, that's exactly the same as having a hole, because if something is missing, it means there's a hole over there. So says Rav Abba to Ula, evidently it means something is missing on the inside of the lung, like in our case over here where the lung tissue liquefied. So you see that something missing on the inside, even though the outer layer is completely intact, is considered something missing. And therefore, the animal should be trefa. And the answer is, well, that's not necessarily a valid inference from the Mishnah. You could say that chisorin means that it's missing on the outside. Or you're saying the Mishnah already says if it has a hole, and if there's something missing from the outside of necessity, there's a hole. Not lotzricha, l'Rav Shimon. The answer is that the chiddush, when the Mishnah mentions that the lung missing something, would be according to Rav Shimon. That he had said, if there's a hole in the lung, he said there's not a problem unless the hole goes all the way to the symphonis, the bronchi that are in the lungs. So now, what we would say is, even Rav Shimon, had he really been neck of the left that he's starting. Now, even Rav Shimon then would only be saying that only when there's nothing missing from the hole. So you have a hole, like a needle or whatever, that's stuck in there, and there's no actual lung tissue missing. Abel neck of the Iste Chisorin, but when there's something missing after the Rav Shimon Moida, then Rav Shimon would agree that it's Trefa, even when it's not reaching all the way to the Symponus. So that's why the Mishnah has to mention Hasela as well, according to his opinion. Tosfos mentioned that what happens, for example, you have there might be kind of like a dent in the lung. The pleura and everything are intact, but you see like there's a dent, or you see like there's a fold over there in the lung. So Tosfos says yes, sure, some say that would be also, but Tosfos says no, that's a mistake, because then the Gemara could have used that explanation over here for the Mishnah. No, as long as it inflates and it's intact, the fact that you have this dent or this crack over there, but it doesn't actually remove any lung tissue, it just means that it's shaped unusually, then that's not a problem. So the Gemara tells Rav Chananya Cholash. One time Rav Chananya was not feeling well. All the Gadei Rav Nosson from Gdolei Ador. So Rav Nosson and all the Gdolei Ador, all the great Talmidei Chachamim of that generation, came to visit him. They brought him a lung that was pouring like a jug. So pouring like a jug, I should have explained, it actually brings in more detail that, again, it means that the membranes are intact. So therefore, but also all the lung tissue is still contained with it, but it would literally be, you could pour it from one end to the other as if you're taking a closed bottle of water and shaking it, and then the water moves from one end to another. So they brought that to the Chananya. Interesting point, even the fact that he was sick, first of all, shows their dedication to Torah, that even when he's sick, he's still going to be paskening on Shilas. But it also means, even though he's sick, you shouldn't think that maybe his mind is confused and he can't pasken. Nevertheless, they could. With that said, Rav Moshe Feinstein brings in one of his shurbas that maybe if a person has is running a high fever, then maybe he shouldn't pasken, because that can easily cause him that he's not thinking straight. In any case, Rav Ashura and Rav Chanina said it's kosher, like we said. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says not so simple. Vuhu dekaimi simponis, that's only if the simponis, if all the bronchi are intact. They haven't gotten liquefied. So what do you do? Omalei, Rava, the Rava, Rava, Ashi, Minoya, Bimin. How do we tell? Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, my student saw dekunya. What we do is we bring a bowl of earthenware lined with lead. So because it's lined with lead, first of all, it's smooth, but it also means, therefore, that it's dark colored, so therefore, so the white things will stand out against it. The Shafin and Lobagabe, we take this liquefied lung, we cut through the membranes and pour out the contents of the lung into there. Now, if we see in the bowl, if we see white streaks, Tshefa, then it means that it's Tshefa, because then it means that one or more of the Simponis already liquefied as well, or already fell apart as well, and those are those white streaks that you see from it. The Eloi, if not, if there's no white streaks, Tshefa, then it's kosher, because that means all the Simponis are intact, and it's only the lung tissue that was there. It's only the lung tissue that was liquefied, but eventually it will heal, and even now the animal is able to breathe. Okay. Another din, Amar Rav Nachman, Reish Nimoika. If the lung is Nimoika, Nimoika means that it deteriorated. So Rashi explains what it means is some of it is missing. So it's not Nishpacha V'Kitan, but there's some part of the lung with some heart within the pleura of the lung. There's some place where the lung tissue is actually missing. So Nachman says, again, as long as the membrane, isn't, so for example, let's say you have, it deteriorated, it has some of the lung tissue over there wasted away again because of infection or whatever. So, as long as the membrane is intact, Shayla, then Nachman says the animal would be partial. The Gemara says Tani Nami Hachem. We learn exactly like that in the Brisa. Reyashini Moipo Krum Shalakayim. If some of the lung tissue wasted away, but as long as the membrane is intact, then it's Afilu Machzekis Revius. Even if that area where the lung tissue is missing is the size of a Revius Shera, then the animal would be kosher. Now, does that imply only when it's a Revius it's Tshefa? But if it was more, if it was then it's kosher. But if it was more than that, it would be Tshefa. But maybe not. Maybe it would be kosher even larger than that. And then you have a Machlokas Rishonim. It's one of those cases where there are and the Rashba argue the Ra'a holds Davka if it's a Revius, and if it's any more than a Revius, it would be Tshefa, as opposed to the Rashba holds it would be kosher even if it's more than that. Another din, speaking of, so in this braisa, we have a couple of other dinim about things missing. Shalpuch, nitla shalpuch is shalah. Here's another din. If the womb of the animal was removed, shader than the animal is kosher. The womb is not a vital organ. Here's another din, not directly related to what we said before, but apparently all these dinim were taught together in the same braisa, so therefore the Gemara brings it all together. If the liver of an animal was attacked by wolves, is it kosher? Zeh yamaisa. So it happened once. This actually happened that an animal's liver had been they found that it had been eaten by wolves. So the people of Asia, which is where this shaila happened. Asia is sometimes translated as Asia, meaning Asia Minor, meaning part of Turkey. It may mean an area in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever. Three times golem they went to Yavna to ask the chachamim about it. Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos. The idea is, in other words, this is after the Churban. They're not coming around on the other regal anymore, but they would still come to hear the droshes of the Chachamim on the Yom Tov. So three times they went to ask about it. And the Chachamim couldn't decide. The regal Shlishi, finally the third Yom Tov, the Chachamim decided that it's Mutter. Obviously, the animal itself, the meat, is probably long gone by that point. But at least like this, they know for the future that if such a thing happens, then it is kosher, and that is how the halacha is passed. We did learn before, we talked about there has to be a certain amount of the liver left over in order for an animal to be kosher. And we said they have to have, the makam kayuse in the place of its life force, and makam mara in the place of the gallbladder. So we were trying to talk about what happens if there are wounds in nose areas. Fine, most of the liver is intact, but you have wounds in nose areas. So the Rashba says that that's fine, but again, we're not talking about there's no kezias left, and there's no reason to even ask the shayla. But the Ran says that actually, with that said, it could be that even maybe so fine, you maybe have the kezias left, but the question was that maybe eventually, if it's eaten by wounds, the whole thing is going to be gone. So we don't know then. The din itself is a din that if the liver is attacked by wounds, then the animal is kosher. But whether it's if the wounds are in those areas, then you have this question of whether the animal will be kosher or not.